When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Girl Stop Playing, a weekly show that empowers Black women to stop playing with their potential so they can live a life that they love. I'm Coryell, your favorite homegirl, and I'm on a mission to help Black women make the money and get the honey. You can have it all as long as you're willing to work. This is the Girl Stop Playing podcast. I'm your favorite homegirl, Coryell, here to encourage you to stop playing with your potential and start working for what you want in life and in love. You already know that I'm bringing you the information and the conversations to help you make the money and get the honey. You can have it all as long as you are willing to work. And we have a special working woman in the building. We got my girl, Audrey Ori, in the studio.
Hey, hey.
Fabulous woman in white. Listen, your branding is so tough that your girl had to find her own cream to wear, okay? We had my show, but I said, I'm going to match my guest
I love it.
Today.
And you look fabulous.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So Tabo was asking me, like, who's this next guest? Like, tell me about her. And I didn't even know where to begin because I am just getting caught up with the evolution right. of Audrey Ori. We go way back.
Way back.
To several lifetimes ago, I feel like at this point.
Yes.
But talk a little bit about who Audrey Ori is in this season.
Yes.
And then we're going to go back.
Yes. And I love that question. First of all, thank you for having me. We do go way back, so it's a pleasure to be here. In this season, I am, first of all, authentic. And I think that that's something that I have been chasing for so long. You know, in life, you evolve, and so you're constantly trying to figure out who you are. So first and foremost, I know who I am today. I am a writer, and in that encompasses writing screenplays, TV series, film, books, of course, a ghostwriter. And then I am a multifaceted entrepreneur. And so under that umbrella, there are writing retreats. There is an independent publishing house. There is also a company that creates luxury accessories for travel. Mm-hmm. So that is who she is.
Is that my bag that I got today?
It is.
Tell us the brand name. Tell us about it. And then I will show y'all. Y'all will get to see it.
Okay, absolutely. So the company is called Crown Avenue. And literally, just as a storyteller, you kind of need an outlet. Whatever it is that any of us do, I feel like you need an outlet. And so for me, that became designing pieces so that when I had a fabulous way to store my laptop, or when I was going to meetings, I needed to have multiple pieces, but I wanted something that was aesthetically pleasing and mm-hmm. cohesive, statement pieces, but also functional. So I started that company during COVID, actually just sketching bags, mm-hmm. and then it expanded into pieces for travel. So I love them now. I make my family, which I am a wife, happy wife of 21 years, mother, and I have my family carrying my pieces everywhere
yes,
as well.
Yes, and I'll be carrying your pieces as well.
She
I
will.
Love it. So one of the first things that you said is just that you are authentic now, mm-hmm. and you have like fully stepped into who Audrey is.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the new year, I was like, I'm not making a New Year's resolution, but what I kept saying to myself was, I'm going to be all of me, like
right.
the fullness of me. And I still haven't really figured out what that means.
Right.
But what led you to figuring out, like, who is Audrey? Because so many people struggle with that, and we end up chasing who we think we should be or who we think people right. want us to be, and then we're not fulfilled.
Right. I got to this place literally by trial and error, and I feel like, you know, people are always looking for an answer. How do we get there? You get there by stumbling. You get there by being uncomfortable. You get there by continuing to live, you know, each and every day. I really feel like life and who we are supposed to be, how we're supposed to show up, it's kind of like, you know how when you're listening to any of the streaming stations and they play a song, right, in an effort to create a playlist. And so you can either thumbs up or thumbs down that song. In life, we have to thumbs up or thumbs down experiences. We have to thumbs up or thumbs down people. We have to thumbs up or thumbs down energy. And so when we do that, we get closer each and every time to cultivating the playlist of life that makes us happy, that brings us joy, that gives us, you know, exposure to the experiences that we really should be having.
So what did life look like before you came to this this conclusion, or before you got to this space? Like, what did inauthentic, is that the right word? What did inauthentic Audrey look like?
You know, I was really trying to be, and this is a term that I've been using with one of my clients. I too had the perfection plague. And I think that as Black women particularly, we attempt to wear so many hats. You know, you and I both know there was a season where the term boss was like the buzzword, like you need to be a boss. And now we're in this space of giving ourselves permission to live soft lives, whatever that means, however we define that. We're in a space now where we are not glorifying struggle. We're not glorifying hustle and how hard you can work, because we understand that those things have been detrimental to us. That language has subtracted to our life's experience, from our life's experiences. So I think it's really important that we understand it is okay for things to have ease in them. Does that mean that life is going to unfold in an easy way? No. Does that mean we don't have to work for things? No. But it is okay for things to come with ease. And when things don't come with ease, we should question if that is for us, if we should be in relationship with that person, if we should be at a specific place of employment, because things are supposed to flow and we're supposed to find that flow and go along with it as opposed to upstream.
So prior to Audrey Ori, the multi-hyphenate entrepreneur extraordinaire, you were in the classroom.
Yep.
What was your Girl Stop Playing moment that said, there is something more out there for me and mm-hmm. I got to figure out how to get to it? Do you remember what that was?
Absolutely. So I got my bachelor's, master's, and my specialist in education, right? Sally Mae. Mm-hmm. Somebody find her. Anyway.
Hack her. Y'all be hacking everybody else and ain't took out these two.
Find Sally. Yeah. Right. So I did that. I kept searching. You know, I feel like we all have this tugging. Everyone has it. When you aspire to more and you're being called to more, something will tug on you. You will not be comfortable. And so I was not comfortable in the classroom because I felt like I needed to touch more people. So I left the classroom and I began to work more with the teachers. And then I felt like I needed to touch more people. And then I became an administrator, an assistant principal, and I felt like I needed to touch more people. And so I knew that, but I was still going along the path that I felt was safe. And that safety was just a career trek. So you become an assistant principal, then you're going to be a principal. Maybe you'll go downtown. Who knows? But for me, when I got pregnant with my second daughter, I was very sick. Seizures, passing out, you know, all the things. And I was still attempting to work because, you know, you got to hustle. So,
because you're a strong Black woman.
Strong Black woman. Like, you got to get it. So I remember I passed out at a training. And one of the administrators said to me, you know, I think you need to go home. And I was pregnant. And I said, no, you know what? I think I should finish, because I felt like that was one of the requirements for me to advance in my career. Let me finish the training and then I'll go home after that. I was passed out. They called 911. Like, what was there for me to finish? It was just asinine to think that that was the mindset, but it was. So when I was really sick, I was home. I had to be on bed rest. And during that time, I was able to hear from myself. And I was like, something is really, really wrong. Number one, I had already raised a daughter where I'm in the education system And I used to have a bed that I would make for her in my office because that is how late I would stay. She was the last child to be picked up when she was in daycare. She would literally be sitting there and I could see the welling in her eyes because she was uncomfortable. There were so many sacrifices that she had to make as a result of me trying to be there for other people's children. And I thought something is really wrong with this. So I talked to my husband and I said, you know, I don't want to put our next child through this. What are our options? Right. And so we talked about the options. And my husband actually told me to do what I'm doing right now to become a writer. But I got so sick that I couldn't go back. And then he got a job opportunity in Atlanta. So I had to leave. So I was kicked out. That moment was me being forced out. It wasn't because I was just so brave and decided to do it. I was forced out.
You were forced out. And I think that God has a funny way of getting in your face.
Yes.
And like, you know, something is going to keep eating at you. Something is going to keep, you can run, but it's going to chase you. It's going to follow you. And you're not going to feel fulfilled until you truly figure it out. And it could be several iterations. It could be several versions, but, you know, several drafts.
Right.
Because we got a writer in the building. You like what I did
Hello,
there?
Hello.
Several drafts before you finally get, you know, to the finished product. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us get caught up in that initial draft or, I can relate to the feeling of, okay, I know that I want something more beyond this classroom, so let me go back and get another education degree. Let me figure out how I can work for a textbook company. We are like living
wearing
in this
blinders.
Little box based on the degree we got or based on the career track. And so, you know, I hate that it had to be those circumstances literally that set you down.
Yes.
But I love that you got the opportunity to hear from yourself because that's one thing that most of us don't have. Like, we don't have the luxury to just sit and think and hear from ourselves, hear from God, get the plan.
Yes.
And that's a lot of times why we end up just kind of spinning our wheels.
Yes.
So I wanted to know how your husband has evolved with this new evolution. Mm-hmm. But you kind of answered a little bit because you said, like, he saw you when you couldn't see you. So he told you, "Sis, this is what you need to do way back then."
He did.
But a lot of times when your husband doesn't marry the entrepreneur, sometimes he doesn't know how to handle the entrepreneur. So what has your marriage, like, how has your career impacted your marriage?
Right. Very much so. Very much so. Like, first of all, he said, you know, "Why don't you just write?" And I was like, that's crazy. Like, you know, you can't make money doing that. Why would I do that? And the first problem is that I associated self-worth with my ability to generate an income. So that was barrier number one.
Well, how do you not do that, Audrey? Help me right now today. How do you just decide that that does not define
me? I feel like it's a must in entrepreneurship because of the fact that there are so many ebbs and flows in entrepreneurship, particularly when you begin or if you're trying to figure it out. And if you believe that what you're doing is only good based on your ability to generate an income, you have an immediate problem because your will to do it has to go beyond compensation or you will give up. You will give up. There's no way to keep doing it. Also, in entrepreneurship, money is not predictable in the beginning. When you're launching a business, some people, you know, there are those people who in the first however many months or whatever, they're super profitable. That was not the case for me. I struggled tremendously to be profitable. But what I also learned is that you have to recognize when you're on fertile ground versus not. And that could be just a step to the left or to the right. You know, you have to be willing to do that, but you need the space to be able to figure those things out. Mm-hmm. So I had not come from a space of entrepreneurship. I had not seen entrepreneurship in my home, nor had I seen a marriage in my home. So those were two things that I was trying to figure out on the fly. But for my husband, you know, he encouraged me to write. We made the decision to live off one income. That alone, and I don't want to say for Black families, I can only speak about us. But what I do know is that a lot of our married friends were not doing that. There were not a lot of people that I could talk to who were trying to structure their lives on one income. So then that meant in me trying to launch my business with literally the $144 that it took to incorporate at the time, I had to figure out how to bootstrap and generate income. Mm-hmm. And that was very challenging for me because emotionally I felt like I wasn't contributing. Although I was a full-time mother, I was a full-time, I still to this day cook 3 meals a day in my home. Still. 3 meals a day, doing all the things that I believed, trying to figure out how to be a wife, trying to figure out how to communicate effectively, trying to understand what men actually need and not having that information to begin with, because there was no training. So that's why I'm glad you do what you do. So it was just, it was a lot. But one of the things that I did have to fight for and that I encourage anyone, male or female, woman or man or whatever way you associate, is to make sure you find whatever it is that you want your identity to be, because that gets lost in translation of the roles that could be traditionally pulled together. So for me, that looked like I would sometimes fly out on a Friday. I would cook three meals a day, stack them up, right? So they wouldn't miss me per se, cook them all up. And then I would fly from Chicago to Atlanta. We had moved to Chicago, from Chicago to Atlanta to be able to come here and do work because a lot of my clients were here. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really something my husband was like, yeah, I just want you to get on the plane and fly. I would fly to LA and catch a red eye and then try to come back like within 24 hours trying to generate business. That's not really something that your husband is like, yes, go do that. But I fought to do those things because I felt like they were necessary to grow my business. In the end, it worked.
How did you not deal with, or I know you dealt with it, how did you work through mommy guilt and wife guilt? Because for women who have these strong desires, a lot of times that can stop you in your tracks because you literally just cannot deal with, I'm missing out on this part. And also, to your other point, you don't want to be everything to everybody else and then your own family misses out on the fullness of you. So how do you balance that part of it?
I think that coming up with non-negotiables within your home are helpful. Cooking was mine, right? They expected me to cook. I remember a time when I was living in Atlanta, I went to an event and I got home really, really late. I can't remember why the event was happening. And so one of our sorority sisters was actually with me. She was staying with me. And so we came back in and my little one was up and she was like, can you make me some pancakes? It might have been like midnight, 1 a.m, something. And I was like, absolutely. And my line sister was like, are you crazy? You're going to cook pancakes? And I was like, yes, because that's my one. That's one of the things that I am responsible for, is to make sure that the family has food. So I did it. So that was, I think, having non-negotiables is key, but it's not going to ever be perfect. I don't think that you can walk or be called in purpose without someone not feeling like they're getting what they are supposed to have. And now that one of our daughters is 20, she and I have conversations regularly. And she says to me, I was there for every single one of your phases. And I remember every single one of them. And I felt every single one of the businesses you tried to launch. I felt when you were unhappy. I felt when you didn't have a good interaction. I felt all of that. And it stings a little bit because I feel like in some way she's saying the same pain that you experienced, I did too. And it hurts. But that's the reality of it.
But what were we just talking about? Talk about Miss Mamas. Where is Miss Mamas right now?
Miss Mamas is in Amsterdam living her best life.
After she got her international business degree?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying she wouldn't have did that
mm-hmm.
if you hadn't done this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to bet that watching Mama get mm-hmm. it out the mud
mm-hmm.
and figure it out. Because one thing that we have in common, baby, we're going to try it. We're going to do it. We got the T-shirt to remind us that we did that shit. We're going to try it. And we're going to figure it out.
Right.
And having a child witness that my mommy is not going to give up.
Right.
She's still going to have that same fire in her for the next thing, even if the last one didn't work out.
Yes.
She has that in her just based on watching you do it. So don't feel too bad.
She does.
That she got, drugged with you when you were getting it out the mud.
She did.
But she is going to be just... Mm-hmm. Not even going to be. Mm-hmm. It's already in her.
It's in her.
So she's reaping the benefits and the rewards of that.
She absolutely is. And it's the type of, if I could go back and do it again, I actually wouldn't change it. Because I think that it's very important for women to see women doing all mm-hmm. kinds of things. So you see, and I asked her, I said, did you see me as a soft wife? Did you see me, or did you see me as an alpha woman? You know, was I hard in the house? And she said, no, I always saw you as a soft wife. You let daddy be a man, and you were always his wife, and that's what I witnessed. And that made me feel good. Mm-hmm. So I'm all right.
So what does that look like to you, in your opinion, and like, what do you want that to look like for your daughters? Because I already know, Audrey, somebody's gonna watch this and they're gonna be like, cooking 3 meals a day, mm-hmm. who are making meals at midnight? You know, mm-hmm. it was this clip going around social sure. media of like, if your husband asked you to cook for him at 2:00 a.m, mm-hmm. would you get up and do it? And it was just this whole mm-hmm. thing about it. So I know somebody watching this is gonna say what they're not gonna do,
right?
So, what do you think showing up as a wife looks like mm-hmm. with your 21 years of experience? Obviously, everybody's version looks different.
Sure.
But what is your advice, and what do you hope your daughters like take away from watching you be a wife?
So the first thing that I will say, and I think that this conversation is actually very much embedded in a book that I'm writing. The conversation surrounding sex and intimacy from black mothers to black daughters, I don't know how often it happens. I think a lot of times, as mothers, we want to protect our daughters. We want our daughters to be virtuous, and we want them to make sound decisions. But withholding information and withholding our experiences, I think, can compromise how enlightened they are when they go into their own relationships. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I will say, you know, as a wife with a husband, is that sex and intimacy...
Look in this camera right here. This your camera.
Sex and intimacy is a non-negotiable. It is not something that is to be withheld. It is not something that is used to get what you want. It's not a means to an end. It is literally the oxygen within your relationship. Not the only way you can breathe, but is the oxygen in your relationship. So that's one.
I got to ask you a question there, Audrey. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the cooking.
Yep.
Do you feel that sex is a duty in the way of... If my husband, if I got home from this event late, I'd have had a crazy, terrible day, and mm-hmm. I really am just tired as hell, mm-hmm. but I came home to my husband, and now he wants to have sex. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it is a, I feel like duty is just not the appropriate word, but right. do you feel like, yes, I'm going to have sex, whether I really feel like it or not, because this is my wifely duty, or do you feel like I'm going to catch it in the morning? We can get a quickie in when I wake up.
Well, I think that there are lots of ways to approach it. You know, one of the things is that I feel first and foremost, I came into marriage without all the information. Had I known ahead of time how important that was, I think that my mindset would have been different. So over time, I've had to have a mindset shift. I now understand that it is not about doing it as a duty, because your husband doesn't feel wanted, needed, desired when you're doing it as a duty. He wants you to be excited about it and to be thrilled. And so I would definitely approach it from a perspective of, I'm here to have quality time, you know, with the person that I love. I also look at it as though the lights are on. There's food in the refrigerator. I'm not worried about what's going to happen. And he doesn't get to choose when to make sure the lights are on. He doesn't wake up in the morning and say, well, you know what? I don't feel like going to work today. So, you know, if we don't have any food, it'll be all right. He doesn't get to choose. He doesn't get to choose and say, well, I'll just see about that in the morning. He's working. You know, he's making sure that our foundation is set. Mm-hmm. So I feel that I'm happy. I'm honored to do the things that will make him feel good about what he's doing out in the world.
Come on, wife of 21 years. So you little young single girls out there talking all that shit about what y'all not gonna do? That's why you're still single. So raising your daughters with this in mind, we don't have these conversations in the black community.
Right.
To your point, it's like, don't stay away from the little boys. Don't bring no baby up in here. That's right. And that's where it usually ends.
Right.
How do you navigate the line between teaching them the importance of sex and intimacy in a marriage mm-hmm. versus the sexy red culture that right. we live in? How, right. like raising a little girl in this world, I just cannot
yeah.
imagine. How yeah. do you navigate that part of it?
Right. Well, first of all, you know, I acknowledge the fact that they have access to the information, whether I want to provide it to them or not. Mm-hmm. You can watch anything on Netflix. I mean, my daughters give me the Netflix recommendations. They're like, oh, you need to catch this show. And I'm like, you watch that? You know, and I thought that I was saying, well, don't watch this, don't do that. And I realized they're going to have access to the information. So our conversations are very candid. Our conversations, to the point now where my daughter, the one that is 20, it's not even uncomfortable anymore. We talk about everything. And the same thing with our daughter that's 14. We have those conversations. We talk about intimacy. And that's the way that I word it versus saying sex. Mm-hmm. We talk about intimacy because intimacy is what is shared between people who care for one another. Sex, you know, anyone can have sex. Intimacy is what we're all after. And it is human for people to do that. You know, this is as human as it is to open your eyes in the morning. That is how intimacy should be and should be talked about. It is not a bad thing. It is not taboo, particularly when it is shared between people who have made the decision to be committed to whatever relationship parameters or boundaries they've set.
So 14-year-old daughter turns 16, mm-hmm. and she comes to you and she says, Mom, one thing about Mama, she is going to make sure that everyone else is taken care of before she even thinks about treating herself. So if you are looking for the perfect gift to make Mom feel special this Mother's Day, make sure you check out the Mega Moisture Duo from Osea Malibu, because body care is self-care. Since 1996, Osea has been making clean, clinically proven, seaweed-infused skincare. So this Mother's Day, treat Mom to the everyday spa experience she deserves. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GSPP at OseaMalibu.com. Plus, you'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code GSPP for 10% off.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I really care about XYZ boy that I'm dating. What is your advice?
I would really want to talk to her about timing. I would really want to talk to her about the way that she is going to go about making those decisions. Because what I also know is, as much as I would like to say, wait, she might or might not. I'm not okay with her not waiting. I don't want to say that I'm like, oh, yes, just go do it. That's not the case at all. What I do want to be, though, is realistic about what is happening in life and what people are doing. We also are a family that is rooted, you know, we're rooted in our spirituality. So we go back to that. You know, we read together. We go to church together. We talk about all the things. But I would really just ask her to continue to talk to me about making the decision. Let's have multiple conversations about it. Let's role play about various scenarios you could be in. Let's talk about what happens on a date. Let's role play, you know, like pretend I'm the guy. You tell me, you know, and I will say different things. We would go that far to that extent because I just want them to be prepared. I don't want them to feel like, wow, we've never even encountered this decision.
And now I'm on my own trying to figure this out with a 16-year-old brain.
Right.
It's tough. It's hard. Do you feel like you are raising your daughters to be wives?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If that's what they want.
Because, again, part of the conversation is, you should aspire to become a wife. We should be raising our, you know, black women, we don't raise our daughters to be wives. We tell them to go to school, get a degree, don't ever need a man, that part.
Right.
So, you know, do we need to start encouraging our daughters to get married? Mm-hmm. But then also not wanting our young girls to feel like they are worthless if they're not a wife.
Right.
How do you balance that part of the conversation? And also, are you planning to encourage them to explore commitment, marriage, younger? Because you got married pretty young. Is that something you would encourage them to do or no?
Well, our oldest daughter is actually in a relationship. She brought a young man home for the holidays, and they very much, you know, enjoy each other. So we talk a lot about marriage and the prospect of it. And I share a lot about communication. I share a lot about, you know, it's great to feel strong, but to also find softness. I share a lot about the things that I would have changed or the things that I would have tried to grow in, the areas I would have tried to grow in sooner. Mm-hmm. So I'm very open about those things, and I share those because I want her to build her own perspective as far as what she wants to be in a marriage, if that is what she chooses to do. I don't force marriage on them. I just want them to find happiness. I share with them that, you know, their father and I are companions. I love having someone to do life with. I love knowing that once they leave the house, you know, like we have two that have already left the house and one that will leave the house, that I have a friend, you know, God willing, that will still be there. And we look forward to doing things together. I am a girl who will go to the movies by myself. I will go to out to dinner by myself. I really enjoy my own company. And I share that as well, that you have to be okay with you first. Because if you're not okay with you first, then you're going to be leaning on that person to be something that they really shouldn't be responsible for being. So I share, you know, in both ways. But I am hoping that they will see, because I think that you learn more by what you see, you know, versus what someone says, what being a wife could be for them.
Mm-hmm. How important is it showing your girls friendships? Mm-hmm. Because I know you are a girl's girl. I feel like you're a girl's girl.
I don't know.
I think so. I think you have quality friendships. I think that you know, they've probably seen up close and personal what a friendship should look like.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that part of it with teaching them like that friends, you know, that friends are important, showing them what friendship should look like, but then also the self-love aspect too, because that's a conversation I think that starts too late in life.
Right. Yes, for sure. Well, I have friendships that have lasted a really long time. And so I think I share with them the quality of friendships are better than the quantity. But when I said, I don't know, I think for me, navigating friendship and marriage was really hard for me.
Ooh, let's talk about it. Okay. You mean balancing the two?
Yes. So when I got married, I was very young, and I was in the phase where people were just getting engaged, but I already had children. And so in order for me to be present, I couldn't go to a lot of the bridesmaids events and bridal showers and baby showers and girls trips. I missed a lot of those. And so I feel like there was a period of time where I didn't show up for my girlfriends. I really didn't. And I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to be fully present at home and fully present for friends. I was not good at balancing that. In addition to that, I was pursuing entrepreneurship very hard. So that meant any free time that I had outside of my family, I felt like the only way I could justify not being with them was working. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go fly to L.A. to go hang out with the girls, but I'm leaving my small babies and my husband. That just didn't add up to me. I'm still not the girl who's like, let's do a girls trip.
I was coming around to a girls trip question.
I'm not.
Is it your personal preference? I don't prefer girls trips, or I have guilt with leaving my family?
I have guilt with leaving my family. I love my girls, and I do now. I'm literally in a season of what I refer to as I'm making up with to everyone, right? I call all my girlfriends. I'm like, hey, what do you need me to show up for? What is it? Call me. I'll be there. Because I'm now in a season where I can do it. My kids are stable. My husband is stable. And I'm stable. I was not stable back then. I was trying to figure it out. I was just on shaky ground. And so I could not show up. I just didn't have the capacity. And I had that conversation with all of the people who are very important to me to help them understand that it wasn't that I didn't want to come. I didn't have the capacity, and I felt very guilty because I was pursuing this business that required so much of me. So now, and I had that conversation with my daughters as well. And I said, hey, you remember this one, this one, this one? I'm going to this for that person. I'm going to this. I'm flying out of town. I'm doing whatever you want me to do because I can. Mm. But I couldn't before. And I think we need to give people grace. I'm still not the friend that talks on the phone. If I have free time, I'm talking to my husband. If I have a free moment, I'm checking in with my kids, my mom, who needs me in this season. So if you need me, I will show up, whatever it is that you need. But I'm not calling you every day.
And please don't call me every day.
No, either. And if we can do by text, that's great.
Yeah, you are me, Audrey. Okay, so we might probably not girls. Yeah. It is very tough managing the transition, especially when the transition to mother and into marriage happens close.
Same time.
It's really tough. It's tough on you as the person making the transition, and then it's tough on the people who were used to the old version of you. And there is a lot of guilt associated with it. You feel bad about it. They're mad at you. You don't know what to do because you don't know what to do. Right. You know it's new for everybody.
Yes.
But we don't usually have these conversations.
Right.
So then when you get into it and you just feel like you're a bad friend, you're a terrible person, but no, you're human. You are becoming a totally different version of yourself, and you got to give yourself grace to figure it out. And hopefully your girlfriends will give you grace too.
Yes. You know what? Everybody, all of my friendships are intact. And I literally had one person to say, I love you for acknowledging this, and I am so honored to be friends with the woman you are now because it took you going through those seasons to be who you are now, and it brought me to tears because it was beautiful. So, yes, I was just trying to figure it out.
Just trying to figure it out. Yeah. So when you and your husband got married, he had a son.
Yes.
You have a bonus baby.
Yes.
What has been, over the years, what would you say could be the best advice based on your experience for a woman getting into a marriage with a bonus baby? What's your best advice?
You know what? That was so difficult for us because I'm literally someone who doesn't like to share. I'm just not a sharer. I don't like sharing food off my plate. That's probably from just growing up in a home where I was the only child in the home at the time. My son, when he was gifted to me, is how I say it, he was two. So he's 25 now. He's literally my baby, right? But what was difficult for us was communication. How do we communicate in this blended state? And so I took the reins to communicate with my son's mother and told my husband, you just step aside, let us communicate, because I do recognize what happens when women align. There's a difference. And that was a game changer for us because it wasn't, you know, my husband trying to figure out how to communicate. It was just us figuring out what was necessary and what was needed. And so I think that that is the best advice that I can give. The other thing is, what works for one set of people does not work for the next. I think that blended families are as varied as our fingerprints, and you have to come up with what is going to be effective in your home. Also making sure that you find a way to align the energy. You have a baby who is shifting from one energy exchange to another energy exchange. You have children in one place who are in one circulation of energy, and new energy comes in, and that is a lot. And so finding a cadence is necessary. Talking up front about the non-negotiables, talking up front about the things that make you feel insecure, because I think sometimes we put pride in it, and so we are ashamed to say, you know, now I'm trying to see if you, is this over, or like, are we good?
What y'all really doing at the drop off?
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, what's, and so you have to be upfront about those things. And we had to put ego aside. It has been a long work in progress. And the other thing that I will say, especially to people who are mothers of babies, who are bonuses, the child feels everything. And it is so important that if you love that baby, that you make sure you protect and shield them from your own stuff, from the stuff of that child's parent, from your own spouse, and build a rapport. Mm-hmm. And so I explained to my husband, not that I ever expect that anything will happen to us, but had it or if it did, my relationship with my son is so intact that
that's your baby.
He's my baby.
I think that we get a lot of advice, parenting advice, mm-hmm. mom content for mothers of young children.
Right.
Right? That's usually what the conversation
right.
is. And I don't think that there's a lot of support or resources or conversation mm-hmm. for empty nesters
right.
or just adult children,
right.
you know, that transition.
Yeah.
What would be, I guess, your advice based on like 2 years in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically, you got 25.
25. Yes, and then we still have 14 in the mm-hmm, house, but mm-hmm. she's grown. Honey.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. But how is that transition from my oldest is 2.5?
Mm-hmm.
So give me some
mm-hmm.
advice on, like, I know it don't get easier, so you don't have to say that. I have heard that enough. We know it's not going to get easier, but, like, help.
You know what? I beg to differ. I think that it does get easier because, you know, as your children matriculate, they become more independent if you train them to do so, right? So my husband and I have really, I mean, our friendship is just on 100. And we have so much fun. And we have so much fun thinking about when our daughter's not in the house. Whenever my mom comes and she stays with us, you know, we're like, child,
we out of here,
you know? So I think that you have to build your friendship. Everything else is secondary. You have to build your friendship. That has to be the person that you want to call first. It cannot be your girlfriends because they're not going to be in the house with you. You're going to be left to live with that person. I used to think all the time, you know, you would see people become empty nesters and then get a divorce. And it would be like, how can you be married for 20 years and then you get a divorce? But it's because you have nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are what make you have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't work on that relationship, I literally just texted my husband when I was on the way here and I was like, what's up? What's the score? 1 to 10. How's the sex and intimacy meter going? You know what I'm saying? Like, tell me how
Check
I'm doing.
In. Yes.
Because
yes.
I'm good. So tell me how I'm doing.
Speaking of, what do you think, from an OG wife to a newlywed, what do you think is a realistic goal mm-hmm. for intimacy in a week?
Right. That is.
Come on.
Okay. Oh, you're waiting for my answer?
Yeah, I'm waiting on you.
Okay,
answer.
Well, I'm goal-driven as well, you know, because I used to be asking my husband, give me a number. You know, if I can hit the number, then
please.
I feel successful.
Yeah.
But he would never give me a number. And I said, I feel like you don't want to give me a number because you feel like if I meet that number that
it's gonna be
you're going to be missing something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I try, honestly, this is going to sound, I try, honestly, because I heard a podcast recently and there was a lady and she said, like, you know, multiple times a day. I don't know how you, like, get other things done, but I definitely try to do something, right, daily or every other day. I try really hard.
Well, we'll be cutting that out. Y'all will never see this clip because my husband is not about to put the pressure on me. That is not what you're supposed to say, RJ. That's an off-camera answer. Damn, daily?
Or every other day. And I said, do something. You know, intimacy, there are lots of options. I think, too, you know, wives, you have to find variety. And so, yeah, I try. That's not every week. You know, things happen. My mother just had multiple surgeries. You know, I'm caring for her right now. So, you know, schedules are off. I move my daughter. Schedules are off, but I try very hard.
As a standard, that's what you attempt to do.
In my mind.
Okay. We're going to shift the conversation. No more marriage talk, no more intimacy. I want to talk about being a celebrity ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Because most of the girls who are entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. who do any type of services, like, we would dream of doing whatever we do for a celebrity. That's sure. ideal for most people. Mm-hmm. What has your experience been like working with regular folks and mm-hmm. celebrity people? And what advice would you have for someone in any space that mm-hmm. wants that type of client?
First of all, if you want to work with celebrities, you have to be grounded in who you are. You cannot walk into a room and be so like, oh my gosh. You know, you have to understand your talent and know your worth. I can't remember who it was, so I won't try to call a name, but someone said, you know, they don't go into any business meetings thirsty. Because you always make decisions that are less than what you deserve. You'll accept something less than what you deserve. So I think the first thing is really being grounded in who you are, whatever it is that your talent or skill or service, you need to know that you know that you know that you can do that and be willing to walk away from the table and opportunities that do not serve you or your career. So I think that's first. The second thing is professionalism. Sometimes, and it's not just, I hate the fact that, you know, people say, oh, we're black business. No, it's not. Unprofessionalism happens in many different businesses owned by many different people. Mm-hmm. But I think that the level of professionalism always supersedes the fluff. And I think it's really important to do what you say you're going to do. We get so many clients who have been scammed. We get so many clients who were promised something that was never delivered. In my line of business, it takes a while to compose a good book.
What's so a while?
A while can be, you know, I've worked on books 4 months. I've worked on books 3 years. There's a book right now. And I work in the traditional publishing realm through my agent. And then I have an independent publishing house. In the traditional publishing realm, this particular client, what did she get? $1.6 million for her book deal? She did. We've been working on that book for almost 2.5 years. And so a lot of times people want to rush and hurry up and finish. But if that particular book, you know, they believe in it and they invest in it and it's willing, you know, they're willing to take that amount of time, I think that says a lot about the quality of what they're producing mm-hmm. because they believe that the finished product will be worthy of their investment. So working with celebrities, I think, is it's great if you are willing to be in a capacity to be of service. If you're working with celebrities, you are not the celebrity in that space. You cannot come in as the celebrity if you're working with a celebrity. You're there to cater to them. I take that same mindset when I'm working with everyday heroes. I really don't treat any of my clients any different. I think that we're all important. We're all celebrities to someone. Mm-hmm. And so it is just important to me to make sure that people walk away feeling like I gave the very best that I could to them.
How do you take on... I just feel like you would be a therapist and like all of the mm-hmm. things in my head of how this ghostwriting process has yeah. to work with yes. people pouring their heart out to you, you learning all of the intimate yep. things. How do you not hold on to those things? How do you not let that affect you personally? Mm-hmm. How do you maintain who you are mm-hmm. without getting caught up in everybody else's stuff?
Well, literally when we hang up the phone, I take about 10 minutes and I debrief and then I shut it off because I don't want to be any of that. Even if it's great, you know, I learn so much. I learn every day from my clients. I get great information and insight, but there is a lot of weight. There are a lot of heavy things. You know, there are lots of tragic things that happen in people's lives. There's a lot of emotional baggage. And I was raised by a counselor, so I know that my approach to it is very much therapeutic. I have people that call me all the time and say, I need to write another book just because I want to talk to you, right? But when I see the faces of my family, I don't want to transfer any of that to them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give them anything that doesn't belong to them, that shouldn't be in our house. And so it literally shuts off. I've learned how to do that. Before, I would say it was a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to do it, but I have learned how to do that very well.
So for anybody out there, you said you work with everyday heroes,
mm-hmm.
the regular folks.
Yes.
Okay. So for the regular folks out there who mm-hmm. might be interested in all of the things, because you do ghostwriting.
Yep.
Say it again. Say all the things again, Argy. Okay. Because you do ghostwriting.
Ghostwriting.
You also do retreats.
Absolutely.
And then put the camera on Argy so I can get my bags. Show the people.
Okay. Okay, so you have ghostwriting. There is an independent publishing house, 13th and Jones Publishing House, and we publish books for everyday heroes. We have author coaching. We also have just publishing for people who have finished their manuscript and they just need it to be published. We do marketing because a lot of authors don't know how to market their
books. They write them books and don't sell them.
Then they don't have sales. So we do the marketing. We have an agency for that. And then we do the retreats so that if you need to get away and write, okay, we can do that. We're going to Milan next month. We have our summer writing retreats coming up. And then we have the bags that you can take along with you. So
here we come on, the bags. Look, perfect segue. We have the bags. Okay, so this is Crown
Avenue.
I got to learn how to unbox like the girlies.
Okay,
so
right.
So this is just...
And that's you just...
Yeah, hold
just
on.
Come... Yeah, mm-hmm, there you go. Just rip it. Rip me out the plastic. I'm acting brand new.
That part. Okay, y'all. Hold on. It's coming, guys. The suspense is killing you. I'm sure. Ooh, I was wondering which one it was going to be. Okay, guys. Dun, 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 dun.
And that's for your laptop.
She's fly. Yes, she is. Let's see how she works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. She's for your
come
laptop.
Come on, with the red.
All red interior for everybody.
The intensified pink.
Yes, right, exactly. Yes. Right.
Okay.
You see?
Crown Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fabulous. So where can they connect with you and where can they grab an accessory?
Sure. So publishing, you want to write. That's 13th and Joan. 13THANDJOAN. Crown Avenue is CROWNE Avenue. Crown Avenue.
.com. And on Instagram?
Crown Avenue,
and I am Argy Ori. We'll make sure all of that is down below. I know y'all enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah.
Be sure to send this episode to a friend, like this video, comment down below, and tell me one thing that you took away. And if you happen to be listening to this podcast on Apple or Spotify, leave your girl a 5-star review. If it's not 5-star, keep it to yourself. Peace. So if you made it this far, I just know you loved that episode. Well, what you did not know is that we recorded it right here in ATL at Elevate Studios. Yes, your girl has her own studio, y'all, and it's not just for me. I'm opening it up for you too. So if you have a podcast, if you are a vlogger, a YouTuber, or a content creator, and you are looking for a professional studio to record your content, or you want to hire me and my team to fully produce your content, make sure you check out the show notes below or log on to elevateagency.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.